A good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
It is!
Peter Wills! Villa in the lead!
Hello, good afternoon, Aston fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe. Do what you can, take me to the road to 2K. Make sure to smash the like button on this video. And you can follow me on all socials. We have a very different podcast today. On tonight's interview episode, I am joined by my special guest, Tom Lennard, who is an Aston Villa storyteller, Aston Villa fan, a bit of singing as well. I briefly met Sam at the Gillian Balagay Rise of the Villains book event last month. And later on the show, Aaron Thornton will be joining us. She's a Monday show regular. And during the international break, this episode will keep you entertained. It will keep you busy. Great to have you on the show, Sam. How are you today, Sam?
I'm all right, Chad. How are you?
Yeah, very well. I'm working out the work.
Say that again. Sorry, your internet's a bit dodgy today, isn't it?
Can you put the good work?
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's been good, actually. I've been doing TikToks for a bit now, probably a few months. And I really enjoy doing it. So, and it's nice to come on podcasts like this and chat to nice people like you.
You really show a lot of passion. It's not like your story, like not the story that you tell. And you show what you book club.
Yeah, it's just. Do you know what it is? The things that I do on TikTok are only the same as what I do in real life, really. If I'm talking to my friends or my wife or anything like that, or if I'm in the pub or if I'm at a Villa game, all I do is do the same things that I do on there. So, you know, I do one about Paul McGrath at the 1994 World Cup. Now, that is something that I go on about at every opportunity. You know, if I'm at the pub with someone and I've had a couple of drinks, before you know it, I will end up talking about Paul McGrath at the 1994 World Cup. So I just started doing it on TikTok because I think my family, you know, they didn't want to hear it. So I thought, oh, well, I'll put it on TikTok instead then.
It's like it's a good story to tell. You know, it's like long in the history books, really.
Well, that's what Villa have got in abundance, isn't it? We've got plenty of stories and we've got plenty of history. And then the difference is over the past couple of years, we've actually had something in the present to talk about as well. Yeah, you know, so it feels a bit easier now to go on about things that have happened in Villa's history and those kind of stories because we're doing well. I think if we were down in the doldrums, if we were still in the championship or something like that, it wouldn't feel as good. You know, it'd feel like we're kind of living off our history, but I don't mind doing it now because I think, well, it doesn't matter. We're good. So, you know, I'll happily talk about 1982.
So what is your story behind supporting Aston Villa? And what is your earliest memories?
Oh, I'm 40. So my earliest memories of Villa is kind of the 1993 to 1996 period. Oh, so that's when I was about seven to 12.
Trophies,
man. Well, that's it. When I started, we won the League Cup in 1994 under Ron Atkinson. And I think that's the thing that really got me into it. Like, I, I remember the tail end of the 1993 season when we were kind of chasing the title. And I remember watching us lose to Oldham with my dad and everyone being sad and me wondering, why is everyone so sad? You know, and then about a year later, we won the Coca-Cola Cup under big Ron Atkinson. And I had the VHS of that winning the Coca-Cola Cup. And I just watched it again and again and again and again. And it had the full 90 minutes of the final. And I used to just sit and watch the full 90 minutes.
You need to hold on to nostalgia. So memories are important in football.
Well, yeah, that's it. I think that's what it is. I'm always harking back to that kind of, you know, the first time that I fell in love with football. And at that, you know, you were saying before we started, you know, you kind of remember like the second Graham Taylor era, David O'Leary, you know, and when you're that age, maybe you're 9, 10, 11, I mean, the amount of information you can hold in your head, it's incredible. Like I used to know, I used to know every player, you ever collect like Merlin stickers?
Remember them, yeah.
Like, I could have told you every Premier League player in 1995, you know, and now I can't even tell you what I had for dinner. So it's like amazing, you know, and I see it with my kids, you know, my daughter's 9 and she just encyclopedic knowledge of everything, you know, that she's into. Yeah. So that's how I'm able to kind of talk about, you know, 1994 to 1996 all day long without any kind of notes. You know, it's all up there, isn't it?
There was a last time, actually. Just I'm going to try and think. It's too long. Because I'm not asking them, that needs to change.
It feels like we have an opportunity, doesn't it, at the moment with the manager. And we've come, you know, two semi-finals and a quarter-final. You know, do you think the consensus seems to be that we need to get over the line, isn't it? And winning your first trophy, everyone says, is the most difficult one.
We're going to get it off our books.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle did it last year, and Newcastle and Palace last year, even Spurs. I mean, I've never been so jealous in my whole life. I was so jealous of Newcastle and Palace. I was very jealous of them, but I was pleased for them. And Spurs, I was thinking, how have Spurs won a trophy? How have Spurs won the Europa League when they're absolutely awful all season and they win the Europa League? And we've been really good for like 3 years and we still haven't won anything. You know, I was right.
Emery and John McGinn, just imagine them lifting up Europa League trophy.
Yeah, John McGinn especially, you know, of all of the players, I'd probably put Tyrone Mings in there as well. Of all the players that I would like to see lifting a trophy in a Villa shirt, I mean, McGinn, he deserves it so much. I haven't watched the Villa just released a documentary.
It's really good.
I'm looking forward to watching that. But he's just been magnificent from the first day, really. And even when he had tough times under Steven Gerrard, he came back, and every manager that's come in, I think, has recognised how important he is to the squad and to the team. And you've only got to look at earlier this season when we were really struggling. Who was the man who stepped up and dragged us out of that hole?
Think of John McGinn? He always steps it up in the big moments. In so many times, he scores important goals. He makes important passes. He's always there when you need him the most.
Yeah, absolutely. And he takes responsibility as well. That's what he was doing earlier this season. He was, you know, he knew that somebody had to do something about this. And he thought, okay, well, it has to be me then, doesn't it? So he was the one when people were scared to shoot, when people were scared to make things happen, you know, for fear of missing and, you know, just low confidence, McGinn was like, well, I haven't got an option. I've got to do it. And as a result, he got us those important goals. Yeah. And you can go back to the PSG game. Where did the spark come from? John McGinn. Mm. You can go back to the playoff final.
Yeah, that's it. We scored that goal, yeah.
You know, so for someone who scored for us in a playoff final and been our captain now for the past couple of years with all this success we've been having, you know, he fully, fully deserves a trophy. And if he does get one, I mean, you know, it'll be magnificent, won't it?
And John McGinn, I read you, and John McGinn, I think he's a club legend. He's going to go down a club legend. Years to come, there'll be a statue of him.
If he gets the trophy, 100%.
David Emery, yeah.
But he'll be looked back on, you know. Who do we look back on? We look back on Paul McGrath and Dalian Atkinson and Martin Larsson and Petrov and Ian Taylor, these kind of players. And John McGinn is 100% up there. And and I think he's fully deserving of it. All the praise that he gets, you know, 300 appearances.
Look at John McGinn. He's been on that journey with us since the championship days. Along with the fans, like, we have all got memories of that journey. Although hard those times, he's been there through the good and bad times.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I was talking to some Celtic fans, I think when we played them last year, and they were talking about how Celtic were kind of lowballing Hibernian for John McGinn's signature, you know, because they thought, well, he wants to come to Celtic. We're Celtic. We're the biggest dog in this league, you know. And then at the last minute, Villa nipped in and we're like, oh, we'll have him. What was it? Like 2.5 million, something like that. Villa nipped in and they were like, if only we'd signed John McGinn. You're so lucky to have John McGinn, you know.
Steve Bruce or with him.
Yeah, I'll give him that one, actually. I'll give Steve Bruce John McGinn. Steve Bruce gets John McGinn and Steven Gerrard gets Boubacar Kamara, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
I'll give them them. They can have them. That's fine.
So what inspired you? Inspired you to be an Aston Villa storyteller on social media platforms, including TikTok and YouTube?
Well, what happened was I did a story about Paul McGrath. I mentioned it earlier about Paul McGrath at the 1994 World Cup.
Yeah.
And it was just a story that I could tell off the top of my head. And I was just like, my friends are sick of hearing me go on about it. My wife has probably heard me tell it 100 times and she still doesn't really know who Paul McGrath is. But it's one of them. Oh, Sam's going on about Paul McGrath. So I put this story online and it just did really well. It got like thousands of views and loads of comments.
A lot of attention.
It did. And people said, the feedback I was getting was, oh, you're really good at this. And I was like, oh, well, I wasn't even trying, really. That was just, you know, that just came out of me. Like, I could do that all day. So so that's what I started doing, really. And I joined TikTok to promote my my Villa song that I wrote, which I'm sure we'll get to later. And so I thought, oh, well, I'll just do a couple of TikToks. And like I said, I started doing that. And then I was like, oh, what else? What else am I always going on about? So I started kind of working through different Villa players and different stories. I did one about Luke Nillis. That's something that I always go on about. You know, if you ask my friends, you know, oh, he's going on about Luke Nillis again. What could have been? And I did one about that. That did really well. And so I just kept going, really. And I really...
TikTok. It's like short to the point. It's very sharp. Straight to the point. TikTok is actually one of the most popular social media platforms, so you know, you get a lot of views on there.
Yeah, I'm a big TikTok user as well. Like, I'm a bit of a TikTok addict. You know, in fact, my kid said yesterday, oh, daddy's just watching videos like he always does, which isn't good. But I use TikTok a lot, so I feel like I understand it very much because I use it a lot. And I understand it's very difficult because a lot of these stories I could talk about for like half an hour, but the trick is I've got to squeeze them down and boil them down to like five you know, I try and get them to like 4 minutes, you know, It's very difficult to condense it, and I end up cutting things out. And sometimes I get comments from people going, "You never talked about this," or "Actually, you spent 2 years at Scarborough," and I'm like, "Yeah, I never included that because no one cares," to be honest. But that's all right. But
the more people watch it, then the shorter videos.
For the comments. Oh right, yeah, for the shorter videos. Yeah, well, that's it. It's nice. Often people as well, I can tell they haven't watched the whole video because, you know, they'll say something like, "Oh, we scored the winner in the final." I'm like, "Yeah, that's at the end of the video." Like, you know, wait till the end, then you'll see. But I love doing it. It's something that I really find interesting. And also now I've kind of worked through the Villa players that I already know everything about. And now I'm moving into other stories that I don't know a lot about. So I'm having to research and I'm having to read articles and listen to other podcasts and listen, sometimes find books about these players. And I'm learning so much. Like now, you know, my knowledge of Villa is better than it was when I was a kid, you know, when I knew everything. So I've been really, really enjoying finding out all this stuff. Like I did one about Hugo Ekiog. And Hugo Ekiog started Dirty Hit Records. He was part of the team. He put the money in, basically, that started Dirty Hit Records, which is now one of the best record companies in the country.
Oh, I never knew that. You know, that's interesting. I never knew that.
No, I didn't know. And they launched, you know, they put out the first album by the 1975, who are now one of the biggest bands in the world. Wolf Alice are on Dirty Hit Records. You know, the money for Dirty Hit Records, it came from the pocket of Hugo Ekiog. Like, isn't that crazy? So I would never have known that if I hadn't have started doing these videos. So so just to learn new and interesting things about Villa players has been great for me, you know.
So what gives you the ideas for Aston Villa stories do you choose to talk about?
I've got a little notes on my notes on my phone, basically. I've just got one note that says TikToks. And I've got a long list. If I run out of ideas, I can always do a player from 1982. You know, I'm working my way through that squad. And a lot of them, yeah, sometimes people, luckily, the more that you do things, people start commenting on your videos with suggestions of videos you should do. So it becomes a lot easier because people tell you what they want to hear or they just give you ideas. So a couple of weeks ago, you know, well, over the past month or so, people have been commenting on my videos and saying, "Do Bosko Jankovic?" And I was like, "Who's Bosko Jankovic? I don't know who that is." So after, I thought they were talking about Bosko Balaban, Bosko Jankovic. And so I ended up looking up Bosko Jankovic and I discovered that he was the man that won us the league title because he was playing for Middlesbrough and he scored 2 goals to beat Ipswich on the last day of the season when Villa basically choked at Highbury. And he's the one that won us the title. So people go on about Bosko Jankovic because, you know, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have won that title. We wouldn't have got in the European Cup, you know, and all of that would never have happened. So that was really fun. I got to learn about him. You know, he's from Sarajevo. He was from, you know, the former Yugoslavia and he was the first foreign player to play for Middlesbrough. And such a weird looking guy, you know,
don't you find out new facts?
Yeah, that's what I've been finding out, basically. I've been, and also, do you know what's fun as well is like, at my age, really, I don't learn a lot. I'm just kind of resting on the stuff I already know. Do you know what I mean? The only thing I learn is by making mistakes in my life and stupid stuff like that, or learning how to do my tax return or something. But doing this, like I said, I've been researching things. I've been reading books. I've been listening to interviews with footballers, and I've been learning new things. And like that is such a good, so great to learn things. I think it's good for you. I think it's good for your brain, really, to learn stuff. So anyway, hopefully, people are learning stuff from watching my videos. I've done all the research. I'm just squeezing it down into a 5-minute video for them. You know,
along the way, like you walk and talk. At the same time, you know, the way you walk to You walk in a park, for example.
So yeah, well, are you...
After the games.
I started doing that because I don't have a lot of time in my life. But the time that I do have is when I walk to and from work. So I've got about a 15-minute walk to and from work. So I can do it in that time. You know, that's my bit of free time. And usually I'll be listening to a podcast or something like that. Now I can just make my videos. But I think you're right, is that when I do walk and talk, it's kind of, it feels nicer to do that because you're kind of, it's like you're coming on a walk around the park
it's
with me or something, you know.
I think it's more relaxed.
Yeah, well, I've been wondering about that because, you know, I've got a microphone and I can do stuff at home now, but I do actually prefer doing it out in the wild. Like it's nice.
Yeah, doesn't it? Do you live local?
No. So I live in Norwich. Yeah, so I live about, so it's about three and a bit hours to Birmingham. I'm from Birmingham.
East Anglia.
Yeah, that's it. So I get to go to about maybe possibly one game a month, but it's a lot of time and money to go. Some people are amazing. Like some people, they travel every game from Scotland or Denmark or whatever, but my circumstances aren't that I'm able to do that, but I am going to go to, you know, Fulham is a game I've been to so far, and I'm going to Young Boys and actually I'm going to squeeze in the Arsenal game as well. So
I'll be there, I might see you there.
Yeah, I'm usually in the Trinity actually, so I'll send you a message and I usually end up in the Trinity because if I want to go with my mates, you know, to get tickets together in the Holt End is really difficult. So I'm often in the Trinity Road, but yeah. So I live in Norfolk, and you know that means that I'm a bit detached, really, from Villa in one way. But it's nice because I feel like I'm the only Villa fan in Norwich, and when I find other Villa fans, it's great. I'm like, oh, you know, and then we can talk for hours, really.
At least it's not Norwich City.
No, I do go to watch Norwich quite a lot. And
we got an inkling that obviously that everyone there used to play for Norwich City.
That's right, yeah. So when Buendia signed for Villa, I was like a big Emi Buendia advocate because I was like, I'd seen him play for Norwich, and in Norwich, he is like a god. Like, so when people find out I'm a Villa fan, the first thing they say to me is, Emi Buendia. And for the past few years, it's been, what's going on with Emi Buendia? Why isn't he playing? Or, oh, I can't believe Emi Buendia got injured. Mm. Like, they love Emi Buendia here. And they would have him back in a heartbeat. And I've been kind of thinking, oh, God, this player that they love so much, he's never really done it for Villa. And this season, hey, presto, he's come out of nowhere. And, you know, he's probably one of our players of the season so far.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Like, he always works so hard. Constantly pressing. And I love that free kick he scored.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a knuckleball. I think the energy with McGinn and Buendia in the same midfield, I mean, that is really energetic, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people thought he was a bit of a luxury player because he's a number 10 and he's from Argentina. Yeah. But actually, he works. Like you said, he works so hard. He's got so much energy in the middle of the park.
Yeah. So talk to me about the Aston Villa song that you wrote. What is the inspiration behind it? And how long have you been singing with your guitar?
So I've been a musician for a long time now. And like a lot of people, I've been in bands and I've had some success, but obviously I'm not a mega famous musician, but I've released a few songs over the years and stuff like that. And then I had kids and became a grown up and had a lot of responsibilities in life, which meant, like a lot of people, I found less and less time to play music and to kind of indulge myself by playing music, especially when it's not earning you any money. So, and then what happened was I was watching Villa under Unai Emery, and I was just so, like you and everyone else, I was so wrapped up in it because we'd had such slim pickings over the past, I mean, probably 20 years, or at least back to Martin O'Neill days. We'd had such slim pickings of enjoyment, and I just was so full of it, you know, from watching Unai Emery's Aston Villa, that I was frustrated that we didn't have a song. And I was watching Nottingham Forest is a good example. Nottingham Forest, Mull of Kintyre, they sing that before every game. Yeah. And I found it so affecting to watch.
The money is, a lot of football clubs, they don't get many songs, a lot of football clubs. They only sing to one or two, don't they, really?
Yeah, I think having that one song, I was thinking, if Villa win a trophy, Unai Emery's here. I think we're going to win a trophy under Unai Emery. And I thought, if Villa did win that trophy, what song would we sing? Like, one of my favourite videos on YouTube, if you've ever seen it, is when Hibernian won the Scottish League Cup, I think they won. It was their first trophy in like 100 years. And they sang Mull of Kintyre, not Mull of Kintyre, they sang Sunshine on Leith by the Proclaimers. Yeah. They sang Sunshine on Leith. And John McGinn's there. He was playing for Hibernian at the time. And it is one of the most amazing football videos you will ever see. All of Hampden singing Sunshine on Leith. And I thought, we don't have that song. I mean, for a bit we were singing Don't Look Back in Anger, and we sing Hi Ho, Aston Villa. Yeah. But other team, you know, we are Aston Villa. We're 150 years old. We should have our own song. That was what I thought. So I thought, oh, well, I'll write it then. So I wrote, it must be 10 verses, you know, of everything I could associate with Villa and how I feel about Villa and all the great things about what it is to be an Aston Villa fan. And then I had to boil them down again to like a verse and a chorus. So that's what I did. So the verse is kind of a boiled down of those verses. And then the chorus is... Yeah. Based on the commentary of Peter Withe's goal in the 1982 European Cup final. So it's Williams, Shaw, Molly,
biggest
Peter
Withe. Moments, not our best moments. So you can sort of relate to a lot of Villa fans. Can you relate to that time?
Yeah, that's it. So I thought it, on the one hand, you can talk about 150 years of Villa history, or you can talk about the one moment that we're so proud of. So it's a bit of both.
Yeah. So what is your most memorable Aston Villa memory?
Well, before Unai Emery came, I mean, what are we talking? 1994 League Cup final, 1996 League Cup final. Beating Inter Milan in 1995 UEFA Cup first round, Phil King's penalty. I did a video about that because that is one of my greatest Villa memories. I had that on VHS, VHS called The Italian Job, and that had the full 120 minutes of that game, which I used to watch again and again.
That must have been incredible.
Yeah, I spoke to a guy once. I met a guy at Carrow Road at a Norwich game. And my friend said, oh, this is Sam. He's a Villa fan. And he said, oh, yeah, I used to live in Birmingham. I went to a Villa game once. Who are they playing? Inter Milan. Yeah, it went to penalties. And I was like, what? Yeah. You went to the Inter Milan game? That's like my favourite ever game. Inter Milan in the UEFA Cup. And also on the road to the 1994 Coca-Cola Cup win, the semi-final against Tranmere Rovers. I mean, that was... I think that is the game that made me really fall in love with football, that semi-final against Tranmere Rovers. Mark Bosnich. It was just, you know, the atmosphere coming through. You know, my telly was probably about that big, you know. Yeah. But I was just like this, face to the TV.
Do you go to the Atletico Madrid guy? Was it Ian Sider and Stan Collymore?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge game people go on about, isn't it? Yeah, people love that game, but I remember being gutted by that game. It's funny, isn't it? Like, because we lost, because we went out, and I was like, everyone talks about that game and says, oh, wasn't that amazing? But when I was a kid, my memory of it is, no, it was rubbish. We lost. I don't know what I was. Now I'm a lot more magnanimous, but what's funny is though, I'm going back to 1994, 1996 for my best Villa memories. We've beaten Blues a few times over the years and stuff like that. Maybe had some semi-finals, and then now since we've had Unai Emery, I could give you 10. I could give you 10 since Unai Emery's come. And
There's
last
so many,
year,
yeah.
the last year just Bayern Munich and PSG last year, that's enough to keep me going for another 30 years,
No, a
really.
few of those guys. The Champions League, though, it's the extra special. It's the Bayern Munich guy. For me, I'll pick the PSG one. You remember coming out of Villa Park? Everyone was so proud of their team.
Yeah, the pride after that PSG game, it was immense. It was just I did not care that we'd been eliminated. I didn't care because I thought they are such a good team and we've just given them a bloody nose, and that was enough for me. Some people are a lot more like, probably like I am about the Atletico Madrid game. Well, we lost, so it doesn't mean anything. But to me, it meant something. It was incredible, and all the people I was with, and all the people I remember, everyone coming down the stairs. We were up the top of the Holt End, coming down the stairs in the Holt End. People were buzzing. We've just lost, really. We've gone out, but people were just like this. Blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, that was amazing. What about this? And what about that? And oh my God, I'm so proud. They're so brilliant. And it was, if you're going to go out in the Champions League, that is the way to go, because
That's the way to
they were
do it,
just
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah, and they got
And the Bayern
the
Munich
player
game
final.
as well.
They're going to be the Bayern Munich. So maybe Bayern Munich can get to the park. Then the player final at Wembley as well. I think that was, well, remember the final whistle, that was a relief.
Yeah, that was a different feeling, wasn't it? That wasn't like, I mean, it was exciting, but I mean, that was just, I remember feeling so sick that day with worry and I was just, it was nerves. That was the most, probably the one of the most nervous I've ever been for a game. It was, and especially having lost the previous year under Steve Bruce. I mean, I remember I was miserable. Miserable after that.
So, what is your favourite? The Aston Villa player, past and present?
So when I was a kid, when I first started watching Villa, it was all about Mark Bosnich. Mark Bosnich was my favourite Villa player. Like I said, I think because of that Tranmere Rovers game, because I'd watched it 100 times. I just loved Mark Bosnich. I wanted to do my hair like Mark Bosnich, and I wanted the Bosnich shirt and the gloves, and I wanted to be a goalie. And my poor old dad, he didn't have the heart to break it to me that I was too short, really. To be a goalie, I'm not tall enough. But he was my favourite player, Mark Bosnich. And then I've had a few over the years. I mean, I know that some people are still very, very bitter about it. But Jack Grealish, I love Jack Grealish. My favourite Villa player to watch.
You'll always be, I think for me, I think, yeah, you'll always be loved by the Villa fans. And there's some of them, I mean, not all the fan base, but I'll always be grateful what he did for Aston Villa.
Yeah, and he's such a good guy. Like, you see all these videos of him all over the internet with young kids. Obviously, he has a sister who lives with disabilities, so he's intensely aware of people and children with disabilities. And so you see that in him whenever he is around people with disabilities. You can see how he reacts to them, and he's just
He's
he, I think
genuine.
he's I think he's a genuine lovely guy. And and when he was at Villa, the way he played at Villa, it was brilliant. it was just fantastic. He glided around the pitch and
he just played so much.
It was a joy, wasn't it? You know, I loved, and when I remember when he was playing for England, I've never been so proud of a Villa player playing for England. When he broke into the England team, I was like, he's ours. He's our Jack Grealish. And now he's playing for England. And now everyone else in the country and the world can see what we can see, you know, how magic he is. So I loved Grealish. And as we mentioned earlier, John McGinn, obviously, I just, you know, I couldn't, yeah. I can't express, I think until he retires, I won't be able to fully express how much I love John McGinn, you know.
Because John McGinn, for me, is the all-round Premier League midfielder. He has all the attributes of it. And the captain, like, he's a real leader. He takes the game and scruffs its neck.
Yeah, I always thought that Jurgen Klopp would go for John McGinn when Klopp was at Liverpool. I just thought he is such a Jurgen Klopp player. You know, I was all surprised that Klopp never went in for him because I always thought he was just, he's exactly what Klopp likes in midfield. You know, the way he plays, you know, Klopp used to call it heavy metal football. That's how John McGinn plays, isn't it? It's heavy metal football. You know, he's all about it, so... But yeah, I mean, I could talk for hours about John McGinn.
Yeah. Are you doing your own podcast?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm doing. I'm doing my own podcast, which is going to be called the True Adventure. It's just going to be called True Adventures, an Aston Villa podcast. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to record audio versions of the stories that I've been telling on TikTok, and because it's a podcast, I'm not going to make them like an hour, but I think I can include a lot of the stuff that I have to cut out of my TikToks. Yeah. My TikToks, I have to squeeze down to like 4 minutes. Yeah. And so with a podcast, you know, I might push it to like maybe 15, 20 minutes or something like that. And I can include some audio clips. So I'm going to do 5 initial episodes. That's what I'm trying to record at the moment, on 5 different Villa players, Villa legends or stories around Villa. And each episode then is also going to have a follow-up episode where I'm going to speak to somebody, you know, this kind of thing, you know, me and you speaking, where I can kind of talk around the player as well and kind of elaborate on the story, because that's always an interesting thing to do. So, yeah, it should be nice. And I did radio at university, so I have... Yeah. A bit of skill in terms of putting together kind of like audio documentaries. So that's what it's going to be like, a series of short audio documentaries and then a follow-up episode where we kind of talk around the subject a bit more.
Aston Villa fans, go and check it out. True Adventure, Sam's doing a great job. So go and subscribe, give him a follow. So I've got a few more questions before we finish. So I'll talk about upcoming fixtures. So what is your predictions for Aston Villa's upcoming fixtures and the festive period?
Right, so who've we got coming up? Oh, you've got it up on screen.
Yeah, I've got it on screen. Yeah, I've got the graphic on there.
Right, shall I just go through them then?
Yeah, you can go through a couple if you want.
Leeds away, I think we'll win. Young Boys at home, I'm going to that game, so we'll win that game.
Yeah.
Wolves at home, that's a win as well, isn't it? Oh, that's three. Yeah. We could have three wins out of three, couldn't
we? Well, Wolves, Wolves.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say is that Elland Road, actually, when it gets going, can be such a good stadium. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not a professional footballer, obviously. And I obviously don't have the mentality that they have, but under Elland Road, I would crumble under that kind of pressure because they're such a good crowd.
Leeds won't be easy, I don't think.
No.
I think we'll do it, but I don't think it'd be easy.
Yeah, we definitely, on quality, we should have it. We should have it easy, but yeah, we'll see. So who else have we got? Brighton away. I'll take a point against Brighton. Arsenal. I'll also take a point against Arsenal. I'm going to be at that Arsenal game.
The league
FC
leader?
Basel. Yeah, they're good. I mean, they're a great team. They're a great team. They haven't had a good record against Villa, so I'll take that. Yeah, do you know what I'm going to say is 3 wins and then 3 draws. That's what I'm going to go for.
Good morning. They
So.
didn't manage to get all the fixtures, but I did see the festive period. I don't think it's too bad, I don't think. There's a
No,
few
there's Man
teams in that
United, isn't there?
league, you know, apart from that. We should. I think we've got a chance.
Yeah. No matter what, no matter how bad they are,
United are
no matter how good
21.
we are,
Yeah.
I just hate playing Man United.
You're not in the park. You always seem to struggle against Man United. You've been beating
Yeah,
them in Emery's first game.
I know, and that's the only one, isn't it? He hasn't beaten them since, has he? He's succumbed to the curse, just like us.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, well, I think we're doing all right, but I think the way it's going, I think we're in a very good place.
Yeah, and with people coming back, I think as Christmas gets more congested, we will lose a couple of players to injury. But as long as they're not central defenders, then I think we're all right. And as long as it's not, and hopefully we,
Yeah.
I hope Ollie Watkins can start getting some goals. I think his
Yeah.
performances have gone under the
He needs a
radar for the
goal.
past
He
couple of
needs a goal.
weeks. But he needs a goal. I mean, he did everything possible to get a goal against Bournemouth. He goes
Yeah.
off, and one goes in off Donny Marlon's leg, and then suddenly Donny Marlon's got a goal. So that's just what happens when you're on a bad run. But his performance against Bournemouth was brilliant, and his performance against Man City was brilliant. And I think both of those have gone under the radar because he's not scored any goals, which I understand. But I hope he can get the goals to back up his performances.
And we have so much quality in our squad. We have excellent squad depth with Yuri Tielemans. Obviously, he's back as well. Ben Diaz firing on all cylinders.
Harvey Elliott can't even get a game.
Yeah.
That's how
That just
good
shows
our
you.
midfield is. Yeah.
Well, Sam, I'll come to a final question. Let's talk about Unai Emery. He's been at the club for over 3 years. So, how would you sum up 3 years on Unai Emery?
Well, I mean, if I could use one word for Unai Emery, it's relentless. I mean, he is an absolutely relentless character, and he's not let us rest on our laurels. He's kept us pushing again and again. And I think, like I said, I am easily pleased, and he has taken us so far beyond my expectations. It's been if someone had said to me 5 years ago Villa are going to be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, I would never have believed it. I never have believed that we would hear the Champions League music at Villa Park. I remember I used to play FIFA, and I'd get Villa into the Champions League, and I think doesn't really feel. I feel a bit, it doesn't feel
If it was
realistic.
ever
This
going
doesn't
to
feel
happen, yeah.
realistic, and so I remember being at that Bayern Munich game, and I will always remember the moment just before the Champions League music played, the whole of Villa Park from being a cauldron, it went deadly silent. It just went, and because everybody.
You get the
Yeah, and I don't think anyone could believe it. Everyone was just, they just went deadly silent because they thought, is this really happening? Are we really in the Champions League? Is somebody going to like walk in and say, sorry, everyone, there's been a huge mistake. We're going to play the Europa League music instead. In fact, they did do that against PSG, didn't they? But so just for that, Unai Emery will be, our greatest manager since, I don't know, the last one that won a trophy, Brian Little, Ron Atkinson. But I think you can probably go back to Ron Saunders really and Tony Barton, because I just hope that Emery gets the trophy that he deserves, that the players that have been here throughout deserve, and we bloody deserve it as well as fans, because we've been through it. Newcastle have got one, Spurs have got one, even Palace have got one. I want my trophy.
Give me Eloy Emery with me. I love his attention to detail. The way he analyzes the game. And I like his passion.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Chad. That combination of attention to detail and passion for what he's doing, you can't get much better than that, can you? You know, the guy doesn't sleep. I mean, he just watches football. I bet his international break, I bet his wife must think, are we going to go, should we go out for a nice walk? Should we go for a pub lunch? You know, he's watching, he's probably rewatched every game we've done this season. He's probably rewatched all the games we've done this season. I wouldn't be surprised, because he's a complete lunatic obsessive, isn't he? So that's how he does it, isn't it?
So, Sam, I'm going towards the end of the show. So before we finish, could you give me a rendition of your Up the Villa song that you released?
Yeah, I've got my guitar.
Okay.
I think it's semi-tuned.
Looking forward to it.
All right. So this song's called Up the Villa, and it's on Spotify and all the platforms. Right. All of my heroes are villains. Whole tenders up in the sky. 1982, the claret and blue. We know the Villa won't die. And oh, it must be, and it is. Mortimer, Willie, and Shaw, Morley, and Peter Whiff. And lion spirit, you'll never break. The giant's been sleeping, but now you can see we're awake.
Brilliant, son.
Oh,
that was amazing.
Well, no, I've never played a song on a podcast before, so that's brilliant.
That's also, you need a voice. It's very folky, a bit like folk.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I do. So I had to bring that to the Villa, you know.
Definitely, yeah, that was brilliant. I enjoyed that.
Nice one. Well, thanks for letting me do it. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir. You've been an excellent guest. I enjoyed all your stories. You contributed to the podcast.
Well, anytime. I'll let me know if you have a slot, and I can bin off work like I did today.
You'll definitely get your one again. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Nice one, Chad. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to make sure to subscribe. Do what you can to help me. Make sure to smash the like button on this video. Make sure to give it a share on all of your socials. And if you're listening by audio, make sure to leave a good review. Also, let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Thank you so much for your time, Sam.
Nice one, Chad. Appreciate it. Up the Villa.
We're going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever, as always. And up the Villa.